made significant improvements to detect and remove drug dealers from its platform.
The U.S. and Germany have agreed to send Ukraine advanced battle tanks. Germany will send its Leopard 2 tanks, and the U.S. has promised Abrams tanks. CBS's Deborah Pata reports from Ukraine.
For President Zelensky, who turned 45, a welcome birthday present. For Ukrainian troops fighting on the freezing front lines, high-end armor to meet Russia head-on, and hope for soldiers like Bogdan of the 24th Mechanized Brigade.
I think Abrams Leopard challenge is very good for us. It's helpful us for victory.
An Australian government minister says if rapper Ye, formerly known as Kanye West, attempts to visit Australia next week, as reported, he could be refused a visa due to anti-Semitic comments. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art artists supporting artists, in their own words.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, January 26th. The North Central ITBEC Board and Tourism and Economic Development Advisory Committee will meet at 10 a.m. at the Oneida County Courthouse in Rhinelander. In Wood County, the Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Wood County Annex and Health Center in Marshfield. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 12:15 at the SCLS headquarters in Madison. In Adams County, the Economic Development Board will meet from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. at 159 East Ann Street in Adams. Thursday is Write Night at the McMillan Memorial Library. This ongoing writing group meets from 6 to 8 p.m. in the McCourt Room. All adults are welcome. Just bring your favorite writing instrument, be that a laptop or pencil and paper. Group members will read each other's work, provide feedback, and talk all things literary. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast overnight with snow showers likely at times. Lows level off around 24. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 26. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Snow showers likely. Lows around 13. 1 to 3 inches of snow overnight through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 29.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out The Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind a Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
You can watch us live at all the faces I make on our Facebook and YouTube and Twitter live stream.
I'm feeling dandy. I'm telling you. Peach keen, I say that too. And I mean it when I say peach keen.
Right.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha, anyone streaming, anyone listening later. Good morning, Jane Medner. Good morning, Kristen Bry. How are you? I'm just great. Made it here safely, despite the snow still falling down. And especially very happy to see the face of Mr. Greg Bach.
Hello.
You were gone, and now
gone.
You're back.
I'm back. I've returned. I've returned to the bosom of this show.
We welcome you with welcome arms.
Open bosoms.
Open bosoms. Open arms. Warm bosoms, all of the
okay,
things.
All right.
We'll stop. Not get into it too deeply, but what was the best thing you ate in New Orleans?
Oh, why does everyone even asking me that? Okay.
Well, if everyone keeps asking you, you probably should have an answer by now.
I'll say this, is that I had four kinds of gumbo, two kinds of jambalaya, po' boys, I had alligator, it was amazing.
Did you have turtle soup?
Did not have turtle soup. That does not interest me.
Was I had that oysters. Because of moral reasons?
No, I just don't care for it.
Okay.
I had oysters, which I think I've had once in my life and I wasn't a fan of, but this time they were out of the shell already. They were prepared, so it was a little easier. I mean, it was just, we had deep fried alligator with the oysters and then cheesy grits, regular grits. I mean, it was just amazing. The biscuits were so good.
Do you chew oysters?
I did. I chewed them just a little bit. Then I think what you're supposed to just slam them back when you're taking them out of the shell.
When they're fresh, yeah.
Yeah, but these were prepared, like, and they were put into like a tray. So I chewed them to see like the consistency. Because I always thought if you're supposed to just slam them back and swallow them, then they can't be that good. Or what's the point? It's like swallowing a smaller tongue. So.
Wow.
I had a great time. We saw great, we saw great music. We met, I mean, if you ever want to have just amazing Lyft and Uber rides, go to New Orleans.
Yes.
I mean, the people who were giving us from super nice to this little old lady who had to be at least 70 to 75 years old named Brenda, who at one point, because, you know, we're not going to go in there asking about Katrina. That's not something they want to talk about to outsiders. It's pretty traumatic. she told this beautiful, sad story about her life. But then at the end of it, you just felt uplifted because of her attitude of like, I'm not leaving here. I left my home for 7 years. I got my home back. I'm not leaving. Mm-hmm. And it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful city. If you ever go, go in January. The weather's great. It's cheaper. It's right before Mardi Gras. So everyone's kind of like laying low. And there's just a ton of stuff to do. I love it. Big proponent of it. Can't wait to go. And fun thing that happened, we started talking about getting a dog. We started the discussion about, will this be the year we get a dog?
Ooh, yay.
I know. Nothing in stone. We were talking about dogs. I'm like, should we just say right here, do we think this is the year we're going to get a dog? And Bridget goes, I think so. And then we started discussing it, like the responsibilities, the things we need to do, and you know, what kind of dog we do want, what kind of dogs we do not want. And so it was just I was sad the night before we were leaving. I'm like, I want to stay here for like 2 more days.
Wait, how does the dog have to deal with wanting to stay?
It was just a great trip. So there were so many great things. It was so many great things. It was so many great things. It was so many wonderful things. I mean,
New Orleans. It's everything a vacation should be. You come back, you're happier, you're refreshed.
Yes. And I'm not good at vacating. I am not. Okay. I'm very bad at it because I'm always thinking about other things. But at this time, I was like, nope, I'm going to walk. We walked around. We had fun. We rode scooters through the streets of New Orleans. Wouldn't recommend that. It's kind of it's not a very scooter friendly town.
Well, that's actually a good segue into what we're going to be talking about.
No, scooters, scooters.
No, I know. I'm saying in general, across the country.
Oh, that was a joke.
I didn't get it.
You said those great segues. I said, no, not segues. Oh. So, and jokes even better, folks, when you have to explain it. Moving on. What do you want to talk about now?
I was going to say, in the second hour today, talking about what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. So at 12 o'clock, we're going to spend the whole hour talking about reckless driving, traffic violence, which is a new term to me. Kind of the first half hour, just talking about in general that we are an outsider as an entire country, not just the Milwaukee area, as far as being so unsafe for people outside of cars now compared to other countries. And then at 12:30 on the same topic, Jennifer Boyd, who directed a documentary called The Street Project, which you can see on Amazon and PBS, which is talking about how communities are trying to tackle traffic violence and reckless driving. So that, because New Orleans, similar to Milwaukee, pedestrians, bicyclists, scooterists, all those things, not necessarily safe, but we're not an outlier. This is the whole country is like this. Yeah. But this hour, at 11:30, we have a conversation to have about a certain Brookfield alderman and the gatekeeping he is in favor of as far as those poor people who want to move to Brookfield. Yeah. So stay tuned for that conversation. But to start, we would be remiss not to talk about the state of the state, which happened last night. Governor Tony Evers giving his fifth state of the state. At the beginning of his second term now.
Re-elected, baby.
Re-elected.
And it feels so good.
So, just as a primer.
Yeah.
The State of the State is an annual speech and is an opportunity for the governor to provide Wisconsinites with an update while also outlining his priorities for his second term and this budget cycle. A lot of it, I think, was talking about what his priorities are for the budget. But it's an opportunity. It's one of the few opportunities that you see all of the state lawmakers in the same room. One of the few opportunities that you see one side, because we have split government, a lot of Democrats clapping, a lot of not clapping for Republicans.
Harumphing. There's a lot of harumphing.
And I just figured we'd go through some of the highlights of what I thought was interesting in the speech. Were you able to spend some time watching it?
A little bit, just a little bit, not too much. I was doing stuff last night, so.
And so, you know, again, as we joke that he is Oplander, there was not much Oplanding last night. Uh-huh. There wasn't a lot of sassiness. but, you know, just to start off the man loves his wife. I will say he just started the speech with just how much he loves Kathy.
Who doesn't love Kathy?
I know. And it's very sweet. But did we grab the where he started as far as our fiscal position?
I've got something on the budget surplus if you want to start there.
Yeah, let's start there.
Our general fund and rainy day fund both ended the last fiscal year at the highest levels ever in our state's 175-year history. We're now expected to end the current biennium with about a $6.5 billion in our state coffers and over $1.7 billion in the rainy day fund.
Which, you know, it's kind of like, I kind of hear that as, and I don't, there was a lot of applause for that. And it's kind of like, as we are a show that talks about Wisconsin news a lot, and we talk about how many things feel broken.
Yeah.
Is it such a good thing that we're just sitting on all of this money? It's like, what's the point of being in a great financial position if so many things feel like they're crumbling, including, you missed it yesterday, the Wisconsin State Bar has said that we're heading towards a constitutional crisis because there's so few DAs, prosecutors, and public defenders. So it's like, we need to pay people.
Yeah.
And so I guess, like, it's one thing to, it felt like that was one of the kick it off. It's like, sure, that's an accomplishment, I guess. And it means we're not struggling, but also, like, we are struggling because we're not spending some of that money.
I think one thing, too, I don't know about other states. I think it's incredibly Wisconsin that we call it a rainy day fund. It's a rainy day fund. But also, Kristen, I don't want you to worry about this because luckily, the Wisconsin Republicans are here for you to help with that. And my guess is they'll want to do what they've done the past two times we've had a surplus, which is take that money, send it to the people of Wisconsin in the form of some sort of rebate or tax credit that helps a few people for very little money. Like when they sent a rebate to homeowners in Wisconsin that gave you or your friends anywhere between $13 to $100 extra dollars for the year. Because Wisconsinites know how to spend their money. Don't tell government how to do it. Don't put it into education or to help maybe pay more lawyer, pay, get better, get more lawyers, whatever. I don't disagree with you. My problem is that it, whatever Tony Evers wants to do with it, whatever the Democrats want to do with it, is not going to happen. It's going to go to, like, you know, investment in the state. Republicans just want to give it away. That's what they're going to want to do.
Well, that's exactly what they said. I mean, yeah. Both Speaker Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu said while they agree with some of Evers' priorities, they criticized how much of the surplus he proposed on spending. Quote, pretty much everything he proposed today was a government expansion. So I would assume that most of those are DOA debt on arrival.
Yep.
And that was from Robin Voss. And he said they plan to start from scratch with the budget again this year, tossing out all but the good ideas from whatever Governor Evers will propose, which is the same thing they've done in the last two cycles. But, you know, it's just a... And again, I always say I feel like it's hard for me to listen to a lot of these things and not be behind it, which I know I'm biased as far as the things I think we should be investing in. But it was like he started with schools, and then he declared this to be the year of mental health.
Yeah.
He talked about PFAS. He talked about shared revenue. And so I don't, as far as what the adding up of what his proposals were and the numbers he threw out, there's probably some people might have different addition that I haven't seen anything that actually line by line talked about his speech, but it's $190 million to bolster the workforce, $300 million in an effort to reduce child care costs, $100 million geared towards tackling PFAS, but all the different things he lined up, it still didn't make up what the surplus is now.
What you just
and
said,
the surplus is also, sorry, is also different than what the income tax and what we can actually afford. Like that is also just on top of what they're already going to be able to use for the budget, right? And so I don't know how I don't know who hears these things is like, nope, we shouldn't spend money on that. Because who is going to spend money on that? Who is going to take help to try to deal with all this PFAS stuff? Who is going to actually spend the money to, we have a mental health crisis. The last week there was a new article. We're record high for teenage suicide attempts in this state. You got a minute. So you got something to say in a minute before?
The thing is, it comes down to these Republicans, and I don't, and I'm going to be very on the line here. It comes down to these Republicans. They're like, that's fine. We don't care. They don't care. They do not care. They don't have to care because their base is always going to vote for them. And as long as they get voted in, they're fine. So they don't have to care about the things that we care about because their kids go to private school. They don't care about their kids' health. I'm sorry. I said it, but it's just true. So they don't have to care about it. And then they're going to send it back to people like you and me in the form of a $15 check.
All right, coming up, we're going to keep talking about this and we're going to talk about some of the maybe more fun aspects of last night's speech. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Mom. Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning,
access to technology and school supplies,
and even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
UK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
It's a fine state, where would you reside? Not quite to Canada, Great Lakes are by her side. Home of Aldo Leopold, Big Sky and Orson Welles, Steve Miller Band, lots of used up shotgun shells. Where everyone's your neighbor, beer, cheese and fish fried. And you don't just say you're leaving, you say goodbye 15 times.
Okay, bye-bye now. See you guys later. Hey, keep her.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair on the board. Mr. Greg Bach is here for Greg Bach Wednesdays. And we are talking about the state of the state. And, you know, I don't know. Were either of you surprised at anything that happened or didn't happen?
No.
I actually thought he was a little bit more dynamic than usual.
Well, the best part, he was so embarrassed. So there was a part where he, we'll play it, but there's a part that he, there was a couple parts where he's misspoke, which is fine. It's, you know, it's a 45 minute speech, but there's a part where he was talking about his wife because he was trying to talk about small businesses and this specific small business that in Fond du Lac, and it's a, I think it's a seamstress, Taylor, and how long she's been there and how she's survived. And because, like, we were one of the top states, too, as far as giving grants to small businesses so they can survive the pandemic. So let's play the clip of him misspeaking and how embarrassed he got.
If you travel around the state like I do, you can see, literally see the transformative impacts that investments have made in corridors and communities across Wisconsin. Take Fond du Lac, for example. Right by where Kathy and I grew up in Plymouth. Cheese capital of the world, by the way. Some things haven't changed much over the years, like Edith's right downtown in Fondy, where Kathy bought her first wedding, or her wedding, not her first wedding dress. Her first and last wedding dress, I hope. Oh. Good Lord.
Good Lord.
But other things have
so
changed.
I had it on the background as I was writing things for today.
Yeah.
And I looked up at that part, and you could just see how many shades of red he was. I mean, it's not even that bad of a slip up, but it was so funny how embarrassed he was. Oh, good Lord.
And he's just so likable.
Well, that's the thing is, when you think about Tony Evers, on paper, he shouldn't be a successful politician in today's day and age.
Well, and I don't know. And if the truth is, I feel like other politicians around the country who have a similar temperament,
yeah,
probably we don't hear about because they're not super splashy and they're not necessarily people who are eventually going to be gearing up to try to run for president, like the Gavin Newsoms or even the Gretchen Whitmers and people who are more flashy. Not flashy. That's not the right word, but the
more Hollywood
dynamic, more Hollywood.
They're more polished.
Yes. And so, and like, he's just so folksy, but the only part that I feel like was a little, the only dig I feel like he made as far as talking about the Republicans, because at one point, actually, I do want to play this. He got choked up at one point. And I was kind of, that is another part where I looked up and wasn't just listening, but because he spent a good chunk of the first half of the speech talking about mental health.
Yeah.
And really talk, really driving home, because it's not just teenagers, it's our veterans, it's so many different populations.
It's everyone.
It's part of the opioid crisis. It's about so many different things. And, you know, at one point he says something along the lines of like, let's not get 2 years from now and think about we could have done more, which is obviously what everyone who had anyone who's ever survived, like survived someone who has committed, like who's ended their life. All you think about is what else could I have done? Now I'm going to get choked up. So let's play. And I thought this was really important what he said.
And that includes state resources to support 988, the new suicide and crisis lifeline, which went live in 2022, thanks to our Senator Tammy Baldwin, as well as increased support for peer-run and community-based services across the state. Mental health deals with everybody here, you know, not just this side also.
That wasn't in his written speech, because I was going through the different outlets, because they give the speech to the different outlets, and so the different journalists write up what they thought, and then they put the speech in the transcript there. And I was trying to find it because I wanted us to grab it for today, and I kept doing the control F, and I couldn't find it.
Oh wow!
And so I had to go back and listen to where we could grab it. So that was obviously improvised.
Well, and because you didn't see the visual that went along with it. When he was talking about mental health and the increased funding, of course, all the Democrats stood up and applauded, and on the Republican side, no one did. And that's why he was saying mental health is a problem for people on both sides of this aisle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said in the last segment, they don't have to care. So and apparently clapping shows weakness. I don't know. It's disappointing and shameful. So,
well, and then the one part that he did get a little saucy, which I don't think we were able to grab, was he called the flat tax reckless. Yeah. Or, I don't even think it was, it's reckless. It's a little reckless, I think is what he said.
Oh, it's just a little reckless.
Bold words.
Yes. And so, we will link the whole video on YouTube of the live stream if you want to go watch it. We'll also obviously link some of the, different write-ups of what happened, because it's important. It's important to know what he's going to outline. A lot of this will come up in the budget negotiations that will go on for this whole month. But the most important part that I want to end on is, he goes in on Wisconsin, and then the UW marching band starts playing. And I was sitting there watching it, and I just, because I've been recently called terribly curious, which I think I'll take as a compliment. And I was like, I wonder how those students feel. Like, how much fun is this compared to being at the Kohl Center or Camp Randall? So I just tweeted that out. That was the only thing I tweeted all night was, is this an obligation or an opportunity? And I had multiple either former or current UW marching band members tweet back that they love it. So take that.
And you know who made a little money off that moment? Paul McCartney. He owns the license to that song.
Did you know that it was originally supposed to be Minnesota, Minnesota?
Yeah, and they're like, this state isn't good enough for this song.
Exactly, exactly. I did not know that about Paul McCartney.
Yeah, he owns the rights to On Wisconsin.
All right. Well, when we come back, a Brookfield alderman steps in it a little bit. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
Cripes, there's nothing better in the world than watching a bunch of unthawed sausages race around Miller Park. Hey, put your money on the Broad or Frankie Furter.
Took my fish and pole to win.
Times when you're ice fishing, you put your foot in the walleye hole and go in.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for...
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work alongside Civic Media's amazing sales team to create a custom radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. The $1 million advertising giveaway starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow only. Some rules apply. Details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time. Go to mercyships.org today.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out! You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out! I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Former Badger wide receiver Marcus Randall L. was found guilty of two counts of first-degree homicide and other charges on Tuesday. Randall L. murdered two women he thought were informing police of his drug dealing in 2020. Jurors deliberated 2 hours before delivering a guilty verdict. Randall L. played for the Badgers from 2004 to 2007. Gas prices are up again, but don't wait to fill up your tank. Experts say prices could keep climbing. Wisconsin's average price for regular gas increased almost 50 cents in the last month, sitting at $3.27. The increase has a number of factors, including the Arctic blast over Christmas and EU sanctions on Russia. Between now and Memorial Day, petroleum analysts say prices could hit $4 a gallon again. In sports, the Bucks host Denver tonight. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast overnight with snow showers likely at times. Lows level off around 24. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 26. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Snow showers likely. Lows around 13. 1 to 3 inches of snow overnight through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 29.
That's Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, which we have to say for Greg, because that's where he...
Shut up. I don't need your pity.
His Samsung Android.
I have a Google Pixel Pro, whatever.
So, if you would like to join this conversation, if you live in Brookfield, or the surrounding area, or if you live in West Allis or Wauwatosa.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it from West Allis.
Watch your language,
you know,
Dallas.
Because I feel like different city, it's often different parts of, to have a fun rivalry, right? I recently was told that Shorewood and Whitefish Bay have a rivalry, even though you don't, I don't know how you ever tell when you're in one or the other, because they're, I think of them as exactly the same.
Pretty identical.
But you know, like, it's rival high schools, it's things like that. But this Brookfield alderman really took it to another level of how he, in his opposition, and he's not the only person on the Brookfield City Council that is opposed to a new affordable housing unit, which we'll get back to the details of that. But it's more of how adamant he was that he does not want Brookfield to become a West Allis or a Wauwatosa, because that's where you live to save your money to be able to afford to live in Brookfield. And this is Alderman Chris Seals. And he, it's like he both wrapped up in public how to be classist and like denigrate your neighboring communities all in one.
Yeah.
And I also don't even know if it's true, because I feel like Tosa's expensive.
Tosa, I mean, actually, Tosa is not as expensive as Brookfield to live, because we looked at both places. Okay. But Tosa is still pretty hoity-toity. Like, it's got money there. Then don't like, rich people live in Tosa too.
Yeah.
So when he chose to, like, if you said West Allis or New Berlin, I'd be like, oh, 1-2 punch. But when he says, like, he's like West Allis, like, okay, I get it. And he goes Tosa. I'm like, okay, dude, have you been to Tosa?
Yeah. And so there's so many things to unpack here, because I also feel like looking at this guy and also looking at some of the other comments that were made by different aldermen, and I think some of the people who've voiced opposition to this affordable housing unit, is like, these are also probably the same people who are like, nobody wants to work anymore, because when they go to like the Outback, there's no servers. And like all of the chain restaurants that are basically all of the fine dining in Brookfield, no one wants to work those jobs, because people don't live, if they can't afford to live next to their job, they're not going to, and there's no transit to get them there. Who do you think is going to work in your community? And so it's also just them just like cutting off their nose despite their face, as far as making their community more robust and affordable to live in. And so I don't know. What do you think? Well, your mother lives in Brookfield, right?
Mama Bach lives in Brookfield. And I actually asked her thoughts on this morning. And she said to me, she goes, I saw the headline saying affordable housing would be a step down in Brookfield. I won't be voting for him in the next election. and then she just basically said that he's an idiot. And that, you know, she just, it's so dumb. It comes out of nowhere. Well, for one thing, I also want him to know, this alderman to know, that you, while discussing the fine dining areas of Brookfield, said Outback Steakhouse. So how cool is Brookfield really? I mean, you don't have an Emeralds there. You don't have like a Nobu. It's the Outback on Greenfield Road.
Because even the Moe's Steakhouse, there's one in downtown Milwaukee, and I think the other one's in Tosa.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of the places, and don't get me wrong, I'm not, for people who live in Brookfield, I'm not trying to attack people who live in Brookfield. No. I'm not trying to, for people who like living in Brookfield, it's more of this gatekeeping attitude and this hoity-toity, Brookfield is the best, and we have to protect our community from the riffraff.
Yeah.
That's like, all right, calm down.
Yeah. We have a caller checking in from West Allis.
Okay. Oh,
watch your language.
Welcome, Curtis.
Hello, how you doing? This is Curtis from West.
What do you have to say, Curtis?
What's up, Curtis?
Are you going to let him talk about your city like that?
No, but I want to give you some outbacks. This is what's going on. See, what they want to do is they don't want those people to live in the area, because they started to fight like this about 10 years ago, 15 years ago on National Avenue. There was a low-income housing project being built on 147th and National, and the mayor and everybody else didn't want it, because it would hurt the neighborhood and hurt the schools to put the low-income housing there, you know? Because, you know, can't have that there because, you know, it brings those people there. But they always want to talk about those people, but they want to put pull themselves up by the bootstraps. Well, if you don't get to live in a certain area, how are you going to, your kids are going to better themselves, you know, in school and everywhere else? Because, you know, the people in New Berlin always say, oh, those people in the city, you know, those schools, I got better schools out here. Well, that's because, you know, you don't want those kids to live there. Well, every kid, it doesn't make a difference where your background is, if it's poor or rich. Everybody should always love each other because, you know, they want to talk about the Christianity, you know, behind everything. But anyway, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks, Curtis. We're talking about the Brookfield alderman who has come under fire over some statements as far as him not really caring about what this could do to the city, because the fact is they can only, as Brookfield can only turn, the city council can only vote against this for zoning reasons.
Yeah.
They can't vote against this just because they don't like it, because it will violate the Fair Housing Act. And New Berlin mm-hmm. actually did get sued when they tried to do this same thing. And so the city lawyer was like, listen, you can only be in opposition of this if it is because of zoning rules. You can't just be discriminatory because you don't want people to live here. And this is the important part. The stereotype of those people or low-income housing, this is the project that they're talking about is workforce housing, meaning it targets middle-income workers who earn 60 to 120% of the median area income, including professions such as police officers, firefighters, teachers, healthcare workers, and retail clerks. So we're talking about people who are working.
You mean people 2 years ago we were calling heroes?
Yes. And so
the frontline workers, the critical workers.
And the people who you want in your community filling the jobs that make your society and your community run. And so instead of this idea of just the stereotype of low-income, affordable housing, like, guess what? Most of the housing is not affordable for those of us who, like, don't make hundreds of thousands of dollars anymore. And so Twitter was very upset about this. This is where I found it yesterday, is because the article is actually in Wisconsin Examiner. And to his credit, there is a alderman. I've yet to ever meet him, but I follow him on Twitter. He's an alderman, Michael Hallquist, who I think is more on the progressive side of alderman in Brookfield. And he's actually called to censure Chris Seals. I don't know if it'll happen.
If it lands a lawsuit in their lap, I mean,
what does a censure actually do? It doesn't do anything.
It's a non-binding resolution saying bad kid.
Yeah, you're not. That was naughty.
It's an official slap on the wrist. And I'm looking up Chris Seals' house right now because I just want to see Yeah, I can do that. The thing is, he doesn't live in a mansion either. He lives in a house. It's a house. It's a beautiful house. It's nothing great or bad. But, like, what are you so afraid of?
But I think I looked up last night. I think he's a customer service rep at, like, a accounting firm or something like that. And it made me think of this Atlantic article that I've talked about on the show before, talking about, like, Elon Musk, Trump, Kanye, and kind of like the people who sometimes fall into the Trump MAGA world. And it's this middle class people who feel like they're not respected. Like they didn't earn, like they're not, they could be successful. They're like monetarily there, but they feel so entitled to like having people's respect. And like the way this guy was talking and his like lot in life, as far as he's a customer service rep, like, you know, I'm sure he makes a decent salary, but like, it's not like you are the CEO of some company and just needing to protect what's yours. And this entitlement and like gatekeeping that happens, that Brookfield needs to be protected from those people.
Yeah.
It's just like not being able to see the bigger picture of how this would actually help an area that, like the rest of the state, needs workers. And not everyone's going to commute to Brookfield from other places if they can find a job that's closer to their house.
And what he just did was he just threw kerosene on a fire that was, I don't want to say it was burning down, but like, I felt like the conversation was maybe we could move on the city level, because things have to be nonpartisan. You got to keep it very in the middle. You got to work for what's best for your community. And by doing this, he just threw a match onto a gas-soaked bomb. And people are like, yeah, totally. He's right. Brookfield must be protected.
Well, it's also interesting because if you read the article, there's other aldermen who were more careful in their words. Right? I mean, and that's part of doing this, right? It's like you can't, if you're going to be blatantly discriminatory, you're going to get called out for it.
Yeah.
And you're going to get someone like me making a TikTok about it, which I did.
Follow Ask Goes Wisconsin.
And, you know, and because everyone else chose their words more carefully and talked about you know, try to look at the zoning laws. But ultimately, you know, one of them was kind of like, I want to vote against this, but I can't because I can't convince enough of my other people, like the other people on the board, to vote against this. And also because of what the lawyer said of saying, like, unless you can find a reason that this doesn't fit into the zoning laws, we will open ourselves up to lawsuits. And so people had a little bit more discretion in how they were talking about this, even if they weren't in favor of it, because as an elected person, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
And isn't it tiresome that we continually equate wealth with integrity and morality?
Well, but also integrity, morality, but also the sense of like of honor, that like honor, like, well, I wasn't given anything. The bootstrap thing. It's constantly the bootstrap thing. Yeah. It's like, I don't care if you're rich. If you're a jerk, it's null and void. And this guy, I mean, I don't know how rich Chris Seals is. I mean, I have no idea. I just looked up where his house was. Maybe he saved his money. I have no idea. But he's a jerk. You are a jerk, Chris Seals. You are mean, and my mom doesn't like you.
And she won't vote for you.
She will not vote. I'm checking.
See if they're in the same ward. She would vote for him.
Yeah, that's what I've been looking up, actually.
But I also... You know, I mean, apparently people were there and like he got applause for the things that he was saying.
Of course he will.
It's also just, I would say in the comment section of the video that I made about this, it goes to what kind of community do you want to live in? Because if these are it's an indicator of this is the type of person who lives in Brookfield. Because this is what's now in the headlines and circulating. And it paints, and I know I have friends who live in Brookfield. So this is no way me making a sweeping statement of those people, those suburbanites, you know what I mean? But it doesn't help the stereotype in the same way he's stereotyping Wauwatosa inaccurately.
Yeah.
Or West Allis inaccurately. Also, because West Allis, West Allis is up and coming. Like, yes, Dan Devine has done a very good job as far as the cool things that are happening in West Allis.
Gentrified.
But in the flip, you're adding to people's stereotype about the people in Brookfield are uppity. And why would I ever want to live there? Because no one is actually neighborly. They just care about their lawn and you getting off of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's true, but this kind of rhetoric adds to that sentiment, which is why I would never want to live there.
I don't know. Like I just think about my mom. Honestly, I think about my mom. My mom is not a rich person. She's done okay. She's worked hard her entire life. She has her income. She has her condo. And for all intents and purposes, she lives a good life. But it's the fact that, like, you know, when people talk about, people use Brookfield as like, oh, Brookfield. It's like, oh, no, because like my mom lives there. She's cool. This guy's a jerk. He'd be a jerk anywhere he lived. If he was in Tosa, he'd be telling me like, we got to keep Brookfield and West Allis out of here.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, also, fun fact, he's not her alderman. So, but I can help her campaign against him.
There you go.
But yeah, so it's all these different things. And this last remnants of this MAGA attitude of keep them out and use, as Jane said, like, you know, an honor to defend
that we've earned our way here.
To defend my position. They're not like us, cops, lawyers. What was it? Other
teachers,
healthcare workers, nurses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know.
All right.
Let them live in New Berlin.
We will bring this to an end. Greg Bach is here. Jay Mednar is on the board. When we come back, Potawatomi closing one thing to open another. Which one would you have frequented more, the theater or the new sports book? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication.
Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
40 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that tomorrow is the $1 million ad giveaway.
Oh, 9 o'clock,
9 a.m. You want to go to civicmedia.us/million. The application will go live, and this is your chance to get free advertising to air on our airwaves. And so you'll work with one of our sales reps who will help you with the campaign, and it literally is as good as it sounds. There is no catch. The only catch is actually that when you go, you have to tell them that Jane and Kristen sent you.
Well, you don't technically have to, but we'd really appreciate
it if
you would. We'd
really appreciate it if you would tell them, As Goes Wisconsin, because I listen every day.
Hey, we have a texter checking in from the 414 about what we were talking about before. This alderman from Brookfield who made some disparaging comments about people from West Dallas and Wauwatosa moving out there. Texter says the Brookfield alderman needs to watch the movie 12 Angry Men and learn a few things about life and people.
Dang, what a reference. Great movie.
Great movie.
Both versions.
Who was who was, because Gregory Peck was in the original.
Jack Lemmon, Ving Rhames was in it. Yeah, Ving Rhames won an Emmy for it and brought Jack Lemmon on stage and said, I don't deserve this is his award. And Jack Lemmon was very uncomfortable.
I remember that. That was really something.
Yeah. Who played the Gregory Peck character?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It's a great play. It was originally a play.
Yeah. Yep. And then they did the Inside Amy Schumer version of it, which was amazing. It was actually,
what was the premise of that?
It was whether or not Amy Schumer was hot. Yeah. And it's a great episode. And the actors in that episode are amazing. That was a great show. That was a great show.
Yeah. That was like right before she really blew up with Trainwreck and everything.
Yeah.
And she had some really good sketches on that show. I would totally agree. All right. Well, I wanted to ask, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but as a venue owner,
I am the Laughing Tap.
The Laughing Tap, thelaughingtap.com for all of your comedy.
Just laughingtap.com.
Just laughingtap.com for all of your comedy needs in Southeast Wisconsin, especially now.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Pottawatomie had the Northern Lights Theater, which was a 600-person venue.
Beautiful theater.
And they have now closed it to open a sport book, which was approved by Governor Tony Evers last February. And it's going to be a big, if you've ever been to Vegas and been there for, I've only seen this because my father and brother used to go every year for the beginning of March Madness. And those rooms where there's just tons of TVs and like every day the game's on.
Yep.
So it sounds like it's going to look like that. And it's an opportunity that people who want to bet on sports and watch games can do so. But as a venue owner, I wanted to get your opinion. Is this Because this was a place that, this was a comedy venue too. There was comedians who rolled through and performed there. Mm-hmm. So is this good because there's less competition, or bad because it was a good venue?
I think it's bad.
Okay.
I don't really care about competition as far as, I mean, you know, like, I want every venue. I don't care whether it's a hole in the wall or a corporate run venue. If they're doing good things and putting good people in there and people are enjoying themselves, I want them to do well. And I want people to see the artists that come through there. I mean, I'm bummed because the Northern Lights Theater was a beautiful theater. I saw Don Rickles there, and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And Don Rickles, like, there are still some of these older performing comedians who go to the casinos. That's where they go, because that's where they're going to be seen, and that's where the fans are. And I don't know if a place like the Riverside or Pabst are going to have, like, a Bob Newhart coming through. Hopefully they won't have Bill Cosby coming through this year, but we'll see. Point is, I think it sucks because Pottawatomie is a very, very rich company. They are a mm-hmm. very rich corporation. They could easily build a sports book somewhere on that land. You can't tell me that they couldn't. And to close a theater and to open a, like you said, a room with like 300 TVs and 40 sad guys betting their life away in lieu of concerts, like wonderful concerts. Like, I just think it's a waste, and I am really upset about it because it's just a waste of time to me. And it's just, I don't know. I'm not a gambler. I never have been. I don't get into it.
I'm not a gambler either, which is why I don't feel one way or another. But obviously they've made I don't know. I've only been to Pottawatomie a couple of times.
Destroyed their buffet a couple of times. I'll tell you that much.
I think I've only been there once late night with Mike. Cause he wanted to, he's like, it was on my like Wisconsin adult bucket list. When I first moved back, there was all these things I hadn't done because I left at 16. And so the first year we were dating, we had all these like adult Wisconsin, not like like risque, but just things I haven't done as being an adult in Wisconsin. And so one night we went there and I was so bored because I was like, I don't gamble. Yeah. I don't even know how to play most of these games.
No.
So I was there once, and then he does his Shamrock Shuffle t-shirt handout there.
Yeah.
So I don't know the venue well enough to know, is there another place in that building that this could have gone and saved? But I would imagine that if they are in the business of making money, which they are and which they do.
But they're making it right now.
If they couldn't have both, why wouldn't they have had both? So if they made the calculus that this is,
I mean,
there's enough of it. Because the thing is, they're the only place who can do that in their defense.
Yes.
They're the only one who has approval in this area to do sports betting. Like statewide, sports betting is not legal.
Yep.
Versus they're not the only venue that can have a theater.
Correct. And that just leads me to think that they weren't making money off the Northern Lights Theater. I mean, and I get
there's
that.
Also a lot of venues.
I get that. If they're not making money, they're not making money. But like, they're a casino. Like, to me, a casino, yeah, have your sports book. That's fine. It's part of gambling. Whatever. I don't care. But you should have a venue to have artists coming through to bring in those people who want to take in those old days of Vegas, who want to go see a show and throw down some coins on a slot machine. And, you know, my wonder is, will they have something replacing it? Will they take another room in the building? Will they rebuild something and say, like, all right, it's not our Northern Lights Theater, but this is our event venue. This is what we'll have here for shows and whatnot. Because like I said, it was a beautiful place. And my Don Rickles story is wonderful. It's too long of a story for now, but it's a beautiful story. And it bums me out that venue is going away.
And a unique venue too, right, yeah. Greg? Because more of a divan seating. You were really close to the stage.
Yes, you were.
There really wasn't a bad seat in that theater.
No, yeah, I'm looking at the picture now. Yeah, it's no, there cool. wasn't.
I mean, when we went to go see Mr. Rickles, RIP, we were in the very last row on the upper balcony, and this lady came up to us and said, would you like to sit in the front row? Mr. Rickles likes a full front row. And we went from the back of the theater to the front of the row, and my friend was right next to the last person who got made fun of. And we were like, no! So I just want there to be something. I mean, when comedy would happen there, like, it was funny because it is home of the quote unquote bonkers comedy club. It still is, but they moved it from the Northern Lights Theater to like a room next to a sports bar. So like, it's not really competition for us as a comedy club. It happens all the time there, but you know, I'm not hearing people like, well, we were a bonkers family. When we go see comedy, we go to bonkers. I'm not denigrating bonkers. I'm not making fun of bonkers. It's just, I don't like, it's not competition to us,
Yeah.
but, oh, I'm bummed.
All right. Well, that rounds out the first hour of today's Wednesday show. We're going to do the top of the hour news. And when we come back, a conversation around not only driving the...
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.